wherever there may be, other, of course, other bodies of water, thin or wide, okay, maybe of course that avenue, I don't know, wherever it may be, but we'll welcome them back with Hashem when they return. That's the technical matters. One of the b'chinim. I brought the papers here just as a reminder that not everybody has yet taken the b'chinim. And I would like to, if I can, impose a deadline. I'd like to impose a deadline, which is 1 week from today. I don't know wherever it may be, but we'll welcome them back in the Hashem when they return. That's the technical matters. One of the b'chinim. I brought the papers here just as a reminder that not everybody has yet taken the b'chinim. And I would like to, if I can, impose a deadline. I'd like to impose a deadline, which is 1 week from today. I think that's a fair deadline. No? So another week after the 3 weeks of vacation, which is after the b'chinim. I'd like to. I don't want to make any unreasonable deadline, but I think if it's brought it longer, it's going to be even worse. All right, so try to please have the b'chinas done by then, if possible. I repeat, the b'chinas is not the point of a b'china is not to give grades. It's not a grades oriented shiur. First, the b'china is to encourage chazar. That's the whole thought. You have to be able to chazar the inyonim. The b'china is something which encourages the chazar. If not, some of the things going on in the world, we won't talk about anything. So that's really the purpose of it. That's why I really like everyone to take it at the proper time, so it could be a vehicle of chazara. It's not studying for an exam. Study for an exam 3 years from now also. But that's not really, wouldn't be called a chazara. You forgot everything already the year before. So it's supposed to review when you haven't forgotten it yet. Okay? So please. That's out. Base. Today being Thursday, let's talk a little about the parasha. Before Yontif, we didn't talk about the parasha, I don't think even once. Did you once? I don't remember.
No, we mentioned it.
He said it was the parasha Shavua. That was a bluff. And the reason we didn't is because between Yontif and between Tzuvis, and I wanted to cover a certain amount of ground, and there just was no time. And I feel guilty about it, because the parasha Shavua is always a time we can talk about more general matters, which are important, not belittling the importance of a Sefer Tzuvos, not even for 1 second. But we need a broader, a range discussion. And I want to tell you at the outset that the general rule when I speak about the parsha, you may have questions which are related or even unrelated. You can questions can become related to the parsha Shavua. If you have them, I'll be happy to try to answer them. If I can't answer them on the spot, I'm not a machine, a computer, you press a button and it comes out, they answer everything. But if I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know, I'll look it up for you, I'll come back and maybe the next week and talk about it, okay? You can ask me right now before I start, I don't mind. Any questions that you can ask before you even doing anything? Yes? No question. Mazel to Dov on his engagement. Over yonder. So, okay. Speaking of that, rage is borrowed of Kim and Hashemai and Vesos. My Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world. You see, it's sort of a moon. Unfortunately for yourself, which has come under question, the modern world, the Bible no longer reigns supreme as the unquestioned book as it did even recently. And even amongst the non-Jews, the Bible was considered to be holy and divine. They misinterpreted it, they supplanted, they said all kinds of crazy things, but they believed in the Bible as such, that God created the world. We know that Darwinism has come along as a theory, and it's still a theory, even with feed the ram, it's totally unproven. We should realize that, because if someone's put to a test, someone says, challenges you, Charles Darwin said, Charles Darwin said, my Bubba said many things. But if it's not proven, it's just a Bubba Meister. So Darwin proves nothing. I'm talking about the Felix Rea. That's not what we, of course, we scoff at it, basically. But even the speed of Ram, nothing's been proven. With all the carbon-14s, with everything, nothing's been proven. And we should be aware of some of the polemical literature which exists on this topic, and some of the...
All of a sudden, you start making horror and cautious. People telling you, not bad. You want to save for retirement years. And he says, I'm the most
part of anybody else, that I could write a statement. Who am I? I'm just a nobody. I was a rabbi, but you know, rabbis today means, minutes of the flock, and not necessarily do you write Kedusha Torah. But he found the time. It took him 2 years till he got there. So I'm saying to every Talmud again, despite the fact that we have, everything is created, everything was given the Moshe B'Sinai, but, as Chazal put it, Kol Mashe Talmud Vosit Osin L'Chadesh, this is the Moshe. The Mechadish means you're Mechadish. The eyes in the Sira. You're Mechadish. What means given the Torah of Sinai? No Sira. It was given the Sinai. Not everything exactly was passed down perfectly. Now it's missing. Comes along Mr. X, a plain Balabas, who lives 3,000 years after the Sinai. And he's a Megala, Mechadish. Right? He discovers that which had been covered up for 3,000 years previous. Yeah. So we believe in that too. This is how we introduce the Torah HaKadosh. Chazal and the Medrash have a long, long elaboration upon the first few psukim in the Torah. What they refer to future events, Tov Vavov. Chazal say refers, believe it or not, to Beis HaMikdash, and it was built and destroyed by Erev Vayivoka. Golos, Gula, all kinds of references in the Medrash Rabbah on the first part of Parshas Bereishis, which indicates to us once again that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a divine plan. A divine plan from the beginning of creation. And truth of the matter is, everybody sitting in this room is part of the divine plan. Yeah. It's part of the divine plan with us. Every individual who is ultimately born would be born. And they have a role in this divine plan. How every individual carries out his role in life is significant in the transcendent sense. So what you do in your lifetime is not just a person is born, a person dies, and what was accomplished. No. We're reading Kohelet. So Kohelet starts off by saying, it's nothing. What? Havel, Havoli, everything is gone. It's nothing. It's nothing. Nothing. What are you going to accomplish in this world? I said over my shul, the Nesivus and the Teres and Kohelas, the right from the Nesivus over we turn. We have it now from Teres and Kohelas, where he suggests as follows. Divrei Kohelas, Ben David, Melach Yerushalayim. What? He's bragging. All those titles. You know. Who are you? Well, I'm the rabbi in this shul, and I'm the shiva, and I work in this What, is getting all your yichud? We look down on people who talk that way. But Shlomo Melech has to get to be a Baal Gaiva. Had to write a whole resume. He's looking for a job. Look for a job, then it's legit. Got to write down, I worked here, and I went to this school, and I had a recommendation in Israel. But they're looking for a job. Shlomo Melech wasn't job hunting. What he's doing is his whole smile is. He's a beautiful chap. Says in Pasuk in Yirmiyo, I believe. The Pasuk says that a person should not brag about his milut. What milut? 3 milut on that. This track. Chacham the Chachmoso. Ayatollah Chacham the Chachmoso. The person who's smart should brag about how smart he is. Right? And how nor should be Osher Vashro, Gibra Bizmuroto, Elabazol, Kitalam, and Talel. Haskell Vyadoros. What's the logic behind it? Very simple. How tall are you? I think you're 5'10". And I go brag, I'm 5'10". Isn't that crazy? That's a stupid thing in the world. You're bragging 5'10". I thought it's Berger made you 5'10". If it made you 5'9" or 5'11", that's what you would have been. You didn't do anything to deserve the fact you were 5'10". But you're bragging. Ooh, I'm 5'10". Crazy, no? Crazy. Depending upon these things too. Welcome to Muslim. You know what? I am brilliant. And my IQ is 180. Pretty big, isn't it? Because Burke made you with an IQ of 180. You made your friend with an IQ of 140, and then an IQ of 100, and the Kula. What are you bragging about? A God-given gift. Ibo did Burasa. What does that mean? If you lift weights, I'm not sure what it means. The passion doesn't mean that. It means not only physical strength or heroism, or maybe Yibra Kovash Yitro as a person, but even that kind of a world, all may happen to work on it a little bit. Basically, it's a God-given gift as well. And Usher be Usher. Well, you might think, what do you mean? I played the stock market, and I picked the right stock, so I was a good investor, I was a good parnasa. But still, even that comes from the Rabbana Shalom. That's what I really want. The Nesivus implies, doesn't spell it out directly, but more or less there in one line, a very important Yisod. Navi Yirmiyahu, according to Rabbanu Shalom, is saying not that strength is meaningless, or that wisdom is meaningless, or that wealth is meaningful. All very meaningful. But the only meaningful if they use the conjunction with Haskel Yadavos. In other words, if they utilize for the Avodas Hashem, then you can brag. I mean, you don't want to brag, but then it depends what to brag. Guy's a millionaire, get $1 million to the yeshiva. The father of the yeshiva, helps the yeshiva. He's very, very smart, so he's teaching Torah to Talmidim, or to Balabatim, or to his family, or whatever. He's a great solution. Person is very strong, whatever it is, however you define strength, he's using it for Avodah Hashem to conquer against the horrors, to help, to do certain chasadim, etc., etc. Then already, the other things are also important. You know, they call it the grudge, the derech there. Sheker Achaim, Devil Ayofi, Ish, Yiris Hashem, Ish, Hallel. You know the garden that takes well from the garden. Beauty is nothing. Nothing by itself. A beautiful woman who's inside is terrible, terrible. But it's a Isha Yiras Hashem. She has that main mile of, she's a Yiras Shemayim. She's observant and devout and the proper values. Then you can give me Mahalo not only for a Yiras Shemayim, but even for what? For the Chen and the Yofi. They say for the Golden Garden. Here too, the Nesivus explained. They say over the Vart. It's positive that a Havel Havola. Havel is zero. They say that's like all the zeros, you know. Havel Havolim. Havel Havolim is all nothingness. But nothing, 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 nothing. So how many Havolim? I have seven Havolim, no? Havel Havolim. Havel Havolim. I call Havolim. Seven Havolim, because there's only seven parts, seven stages of the human being, seven heavens, everything's heaven. They say, it's like, heaven is like nothing. They have zero, zero, nothing, zero, nothing, zero, all zero. They're all zero. And you put a one of this in the front. Put a one in the front, so seven zeros, not turn to 10 million, I mean, huh? Also you have 10 million out of the zero. Just put one and a one. All those zeros are just sitting in a collection, not a stuff, enough of zero, enough of zero. Gosh, good. Put a one in front, and you have 10 million. Had only been 6 years, there was only 1 million, etc. So this is standing over here. All these mildest and neatest of us, of wisdom, strength, and wealth are nothing in themselves. But if you're going to use it properly, Havodas Hashem, then it's really very significant. Very significant. And he explains in the Tzivos, that's why he gave the three introductions. He says, Shlomo Melech, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You're going to tell us that wealth is nothing, that wisdom is nothing, that strength is nothing. What do you know about wealth, wisdom, and strength? Tell us that it's nothing. But in order to defend himself against that allegation, he had to give a little introduction. Who am I? Divrei Kohelet. What does Kohelet mean? Who's Machil Kol HaChokhmos Kulam. He included within his personality every facet of wisdom. You know how the birds with the bird language might, you know everything. Don't tell me I don't know about Chokhmos. I know it's over. I'm playing Apple Pekin and I walk over more than anybody else. I'm telling you it's all Hevel. Nothing. Weiter. Yeah, but you don't know anything about Gura. How can you say it's nothing? What do you mean? Gura, I'm Ben David. Ben David, David, I'm not the Gibor in all the sense. The Gibor Tomash is the Gibor. Gibor in the sense of strength and of fear. Warrior, the whole story. I know what Gura is. Well, I'm Melech Yerushalayim. I have a base of minutes which is given gold, everything. I'm telling you, it's also nothing. All these things are nothing. Havel, Havolim, right? Double nothing. Nothing. Hakol Havel. So the Stephen said one little last point. The other things, Chokhman, Gura, Havel, Havolim. Which means, it's nothing really intrinsically valuable. But at the same time, it has an impact on the person himself. Chokhmah is something which a person has as part of him. He's a nuclear scientist. So maybe he doesn't have the right hashkafa, therefore his wisdom is not being channeled properly. Okay, but the person, there goes a nuclear scientist. Or the person is strength, whether it's physical strength or emotional strength, whatever. He goes, strong guy, whatever he is, whatever, the guy was strong, great warrior. But money? Money's a color. Why is that a color? Because money expensive is given to someone who's not intrinsic to the person. Guy walks down the street, has money. Not any smarter, or not any stronger, just has money. Money's not, can't take your money with you. Money is something outside of yourself. It's not part of you. As a result of that, money can be said if it's not used properly, it's a toro. Used properly, so it's another zero. Here, the zero is very good at the motion. Another zero is another 10 times as much money as a sucker. So that's very significant. But in terms of it being a part of him, it's not. That's how we explain. So, it's not like it's bad news. The life is nothing. Zero. So the next person, Gwela, says, "My Yisro and the other Bechol Amolo, Sheyamol Tachat HaShemesh." Again, the present. What's game is whatever person does under the sun. You have to look in Chazal on that person. It's not like a world famous comment, which is the key to everything. Namely, Tachat HaShemesh Ein Yisro. Whatever you do under the sun, there's nothing really gained. Avol Lamalam and HaShemesh Yesh Yisro. That which you doesn't mean you do it over the sun. It's what you do in this world, with its impact in a transcendent sense, in a supernatural sense, in a global sense, the Malam and Hashemesh, cosmic. What's that? What do you do which has this kind of impact? Right now you're listening to me. That has cosmic impact. I'm on the Balgaiva. But you hear the words of Torah. Every minute. If you hear a word of Torah, if you pay attention, right, stay awake. This is the Lamalam and Hashemesh. It's like, wow. If you hear another Dvar Torah, another Dvar Musar, another Hiru Torah. And don't forget, every time you hear a Torah, it takes away a Hiru Chet. Every time you do a mitzvah, it takes away a Neveira. It's all Lamalam and Hashemesh. It's remarkable what can be done. The Yesh Yisrael, which is just to go to the end, Tov Dvar Kol Nishma. What's the bottom line at the end? Huh? That's a Kim Yirah. That's a Shmosav, Shemar, Kizek, Kaladam. That's what the essence of a human being is. A Yirah Shemai, to believe in separation for all of Kim, to believe in God, to fear God, reverence God, awe, and to do the mitzvahs, Torah, Chesed, Mitzvahs, Matrios, Quran, Tfilin, Sitzvahs, Ben, Shemit, Ben, Daven properly, Kizek, Kaladam. The essence of man. We were put in this world for that reason. And that's tremendous, Yisrael. It was incredible and unparalleled. We come away from the Gilas Kohelas and the Simcha story on the starting New Year of Gracious. We should come away depressed, Khalil. We should come back. Woo! I'm flying. I'm ready now to do significant deeds. Yisrael Shalemalam and Hashemesh. These have tremendous, transcendent significance. Every mitzvah, every machshav in Torah, whether it be an original machshav which comes once in a long time, or just reviewing our Pasuk Chumash, our Blat Gemara, our Tosfos, whatever it may be. Incredible. That should be the message of Simchas Torah to all of you. I know where you were, Simchas Torah, I know where I was. You kept reinforcing the negunah, that's it. We have to thank the Rabbono Shel Olam. Shebaranu l'chvodo. He created us to honor him, right? So give honor to the Rabbono Shel Olam, to the Kaddish Shem Shemayim, because we love him and our Torah. And also love the Torah's Emes, and Chayel, and not the Besokhein. That's, you come away with that on a Shabbat Yontif, that gives you a tremendous recharging of the batteries. Now we come back to all of what we're doing, certainly in the Torah Mitzvah department, even in the other departments of our activities. But we've done Hashem Shemayim. Hashem Shemayim, the person does it because he has intention that whatever he's going to do in this world, I'll give you an example. He has a college, a degree he's pursuing. He's pursuing a degree that's in business. What's business? They want to be a tycoon for the sake of having his name in the newspapers. Tycoon, that's no good. He's going to business, he feels he goes to business will be able to make a better living. Make a better living, be able to have more children, and they'll be able to give more tzedakah, be able to have more menuchas and nefesh, he hopes. That's the hard part. To take our time to learn, and for us who are learning. And every minute he spends in business school, if he has that in mind, it's a mitzvah. Because that's the way he plans to make his parnasa. That goes for any, I'll just pick one example. But any parnasa. That's your intention, as in order to make the money to be used properly, for family purposes, and charitable purposes, and Torah purposes, then it's a mitzvah. Every step along the way is a mitzvah. If, however, you just have this, pot of gold, at the end of the rainbow, and that has something you feel has intrinsic value, that's a kol havel. You can't take it with you. What's the purpose of having more gold? What do you do with it? So attitude is everything about that. How you approach life is everything. Because two people can do exactly the same thing. One guy has a mother shem mitzvah, one guy has a mother for his own personal pleasure and pride, and they're doing the exact same thing in this world. For one, is every second is a mitzvah. They don't want to invest neutral and worse than other. So maybe they're going to do the same thing. That's the Rambam writes. We're all coming out of the Yontif, right? Everyone on Yontif ate plenty. I'm just looking at you, everyone looks like they're just bursting out of their shirts. And everyone is just, the Shem Mitzvah out of it. The Mitzvah Simchas Yontif. Every piece of meat, every drink of wine, every piece of cake that you had, chon, kugel, whatever you have, a good delicious matzah you had in Yontif, you had it on the Shem Mitzvah, the Simchas Yontif, the Kavanat Torah, or whatever, it's a mitzvah. Never mind to be a pig, just to get it down your stomach, the Simchas Akeres, Raman Kul, then it's at best neutral. It's worse than Aveira. So even of the more sparse meals that we have now, we can have to become accustomed to in the and sleep. This is what Bali Bush explained. Everyone has to sleep, no question about it. So why you gotta sleep? Oh, I love sleep. My big gate for her is sleep. That's not right. Sleep is just nothing gained from the perspective of mitzvah. If you go to sleep, they say, I'm going to sleep because I want to go have prayers tomorrow to be able to learn and do what's in the Bore. The self Dovah Kol Nishma, as the Tzvot of Shemar, includes sleep. If you don't sleep, you can't function. So that's, we have to come and energize and charge with this very important lesson that we're learning right at the beginning of our inspiration. We are created for a reason. Because Shabbat created us, and he created us by Erev, by Boker, Yom HaShishi, and the first Friday of the world. Rashi already comes from Chazal. That's Yom HaShishi. HaShishi means a reference to the sixth day of Sivan, when the Torah was given. Why? That the entire creation was for the sake of Torah. And embraces, gracious, the Torah declaration, the Rosh declaration. We are, thank God, so fortunate in our lives we're able to sit and learn Torah and to live by it. To come with a burst of energy when you have its realization. So planting new, but to reinforce and internalize it is very important now. Okay. That's open. I must tell you, that the lessons of eternal value are found by our Rishonim at the very beginning of the Chumash. For example, you all know that in the second day of creation it doesn't say he told. Third day it says he told twice. The simple way of understanding we all know is Rashi explains it wasn't finished in the second day. Right? The second day didn't finish anything. It didn't say he told. Finished it in the third day. Let's keep the rally going, and then again, at the end, he told. Let's keep called Yom Shavuot Chavol. He told. They have to move on Tuesday, get married on Tuesday. Every other Tuesday is a Jewish literature of the quote unquote lucky day. Should be over those owners, or whatever. But that's the summer, and it's not your head to hurt. It's a lucky day, because you see how they're going about Yom Shavuot Chavol. That's what they say right out of the letter. Tuesday is going to consider some day of extra special mark. That's the traditional stuff. This is why Rabbeinu Bachai, I quote things from earlier sources. Another reason why it doesn't say he told in the second day. But in the second day, we read this morning in Shul. Vayas alokim v'saratia. Vayavdel bein amayim, etc. In Vayavdel, there's a split. Water used to be somehow all one big unit. When I go to draw up one, the second day, split off. And it's split between the Mayim on top of the Rakia and Mayim under the Rakia. Whenever there's a Havdalah, whenever there's a Machlokes, whenever there's a dispute, there's no Kitov. Keep that in mind. We basically believe that whenever possible, there should be avoid splits. I still remember this. I gave this drasha once to Shul. It was a terrible fight for Shul for the Rakia. Yeah, Sahara is very smart. He knows, he's smart. He picks the right day to Yom Kippur some someplace, Yom Kippur they go fell in the fire. Purim, the Vatara is I had one come to think about me in Shul. Shana Rabba. What happened? No. What happened? It's unbelievable. I'm sitting there, I just give you his muscles, the practice of a rabbinical more than I saw, believe me. I can say more than I saw people. I'm telling you, local Lamaisa, what that happens every day in, day out. You come in a lecture. I'm telling you, it really happens. I'm standing there by the Bima, after my result of Lucky Shabbat. I see a guy walk up to me, and his eyes are on fire. I'm telling you, this man, his eyes are on fire. This guy was a village show. Friday night, he walked over to me, and he was still saying Elena, you know. And so I said, well, I want Brooklyn with him. He wants Brooklyn. I know they want, but I want family with him. So Elena, Kaddish, David, then I called my palace, and said, he looked at me and said, Tyrone out. I might take someone to a deterrent. I said, we'll talk about it. No one else is around. Everyone else is a charlatan. The whole lineup comes. This guy just. I think another little head over there and calm him. You know, it's cooking up, but he's also calming down. So the question, yeah. Oh, charlatan, cook here. Yeah, well. After all, 10 minutes past, and let's go. Because we don't have an office, my sure. I should have found it on everything. I don't have it all. If I don't have it all, no. So, because it's constant, let's go to the ladies' section. Because it's a little bit. What happened? Well, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to make of this. I don't know what's going on over here. I'll tell you the story. I came out of school after my room. It was fresh, but I don't know what it was. Fresh story. After the essay. And I see my kid is crying. Because Mr. X pushed him into the wall. Why did he push him? Well, my son beat up his kid. But you know the rule is you can't hit someone else's kid. So take him to the dirt. Okay, I'll take care of him. They call him Mr. X. That night. He wasn't home. then next thing I knew, he pulled me back in my eyes, and I left out. Going home, so I'm going to do the next day. He threw me down at the time. So I got in the second meeting. They got both of you guys out in the first meeting. Afterwards, I see the talk in the back. I'm just praying so that there shouldn't be a fist fight. Now, once I had a fist fight with a little bit of someone hit a kid, that's the most visceral issue in this world. You know, as important as Mop the Yine, this is hit my kid. And so this kid said, I'm going to get him. Oh, I'm not playing. So lucky, he says, he left before I got there. Otherwise, I would have beat him up. So I said, so we're looking to say that if anyone can do it himself. finally, for all the guys, let's have a meeting. So we met. I was unfortunate. The buyer, my shoulder, Shanarama, so I couldn't focus on Shanarama. So that night, we had to have, said, let's meet after Meyer. We met after Meyer, had a long solution with this guy. He got to hit him. He gives me a version of the fact. Someone's being beat up by this kid. He kicked him twice, and he's in sixth grade. My son's only in first grade, and I'm going to do two things. And therefore, what I did was, and I came and he was kicking him. What I did was, I sort of, you know, I moved away a little bit. Well, meanwhile, the only thing is that I, what happened? So my wife told me I came home and went to Shabbos. So there's something on the back of the shoe today. Yeah? Full symptom of investigative reporting. So Simcha, what happened? He said, oh, this is what happened, what happened? Then the guy came in after the whole incident was over. Not that he swagged, he gave me the description, he just me pounced, he ran over to the guy after he was already no longer even near the kid anymore, he was crying. He came over and took the guy, took him and he threw him into the wall. So it was not exactly as this guy was described, but you know, I told him, you know, I don't know if the description of the fact was exactly accurate. I heard a different description of the fact. Kissed him. So, you know,
did he really fit the same
person? Yeah, that was real. That was real. So, you know, the rule is that kids shouldn't fight the plow. So the kids shouldn't fight with kids who are younger than them. But another rule is that you have to establish a rule that no fallen boss can lift the finger to someone else's throat to do that. If your son is under attack when you walk in, the proper thing to do is to pull your son away. Take him in. If it's a wacky case where an adult can't pull his child away because the kid is so strong that he's tumbling at him and he has to push him over to the side, so that's the shazat, that's a davar shelo shtiya. Fine. So let's have a talk. Let's talk. All the parties should meet, the kids and the parents. Let's talk it out. Okay. It was Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres, by day, the other guy comes to me. He comes to me, I'm telling you, he comes to me. It was right back to me. That's the sort of my kid from the Seal of Geshem. That's when he comes to me. Then, well, Asharon is on the duchen, the guy with the claim. The guy who hit with the claim. I can't have any duchen if he's not the root of the call. I said, that man is all taken care of. Take care, he can duchen, take care. So wait a minute, but I figured I'll buy my car and I'll come. After the book of Simcha Torah the next day, I told him to go and stay behind. Get him outside of the school. I sat with him. You know, in the room, such and such. And I said, some of the friends of both of them, it's a fact that this guy is described by the case, but you know, he was coming in, just being kicked at the moment, but he just moved a little bit. Not exactly what I heard, but we have to show him. I quoted the Rashi, the Zotabracha, after he be sure as Melech, but after Rosh Yom Yachat Shifte Yisroel, the Rashi says, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is kicking them together, that Buddha Achat, Lok Shif Machloikas Beneyem, that's how they show him, they shook hands, it was fine, good. 10 minutes later, knock on my door. This guy, the hitter, comes over to his little kid, his first-year-old kid. I have to speak to your Rabbi. I pulled him out, and my kids were all running around, and I went to the other room. Took him to a side room, and said, what is this? Just hit me where we are, and come out, whoa, whoa, whoa. What is this? Well, he came to facts, and that's as I presented them. I said, well, what do you mean? Well, why ask this kid what happened? He's 60 or whatever. So I said, what happened? He said, yeah, it was kicked. I kicked him once. Well, said, yeah, I know. The rabbi said that the facts weren't as you told them. What weren't exactly the way they were told to you by him. I said, that's the second part. The kid was hit, that's for sure. I got good testimony that the kid was hit. Well, Father Simcha's testimony. But, I'll give you a motion. So 1 year we had a big fight at Simcha's Cove. Got a kiddish, I got this terrible. So the next Shabbos Brace, I gave a drush. I was so upset about this. It was Machloikas. And those are made of Machaya. It was Machloikas, their name was Noki Tov, was terrible. You were the guy who was involved in Machloikas, who was involved in the kiddish. He wasn't there for the drush, he was busy preparing the kiddish downstairs prior to the Chassanah kiddish and prior to Shabbos Brace, and should do this. I come to Sancho Minchas, told me this guy's furious. Why did you do this? The rabbi spoke out against him. I said, the boy said there wasn't a reference to what? I spoke against my flesh. If the guy makes my flesh, it's against him. I'm not against him personally. I speak against, I tell him, my flesh is bad. Right? My flesh is bad. If he could use himself as a Baal Machloikas, then I didn't say anything against him. He put himself in that box. It took a while to diffuse that one too. Rabbi Sai, the Machloikas, unfortunately, if something gets in there, whatever, that's the problem. We have to recognize that these lessons are immortal, timeless lessons, Moreover Rabbosai, forever and ever and ever, these lessons. Built into creation. We have to try our best to avoid Machloikas. We should never start fighting with people. We have to try very, very hard to avoid fighting. I must tell you though, very difficult to know how to judge these things. Sometimes the difference between men and people are so great that there's no way they can live in proximity without constant fighting. And then they prefer that they simply part ways, part as friends, or not as friends, part as non-friends, okay, that's better than enemies. And it's different cheaters, that's all different things. One of the most difficult decisions in life is to know when is it that the difference between two people are so basic that they simply cannot be in proximity. They just have to separate from one another. I'm just going to give you an example of how difficult it is. I may have mentioned to you, I spoke about this before Yontif, about the Shaila of Avram and Lot. That's 2 weeks. You already. I may pop up the next 2 weeks prior to this field, but they have Noah and have Lechacha, that Achrei Pored Lot Meimo, after Lot left Avram Avinu, the Nakhosh Rav appeared to. So Rashi gives a very positive description of the fact that Avram Avinu reigned at Lot's allegiance. Before that, he wouldn't come to him because he's just a Russia, not going to be with Russia. So then, now Achrei Pored Lot Meimo, Nakhosh Rav appeared to. That's how Rashi did it. I grew up all my life thinking this is the assault. This Rashi, I learned Chumash Rashi, every year I learned Chumash. Now I have found the back of Shnai Mikra, those who didn't do it until now. Now you start, gracious. Shnai Mikra Vechad. Rashi, because it doesn't show the Noah. You do Rashi, Rashi is a good way to do it, whatever. But guess what? Past year, this is the first one, I'm learning the Madrash and Nakhapa, it's a Machlaikis. Rashi only quotes one opinion. Another opinion in the Madrash there, Nakhapa says, no! Hashem was angry at Avraham Avinu. You are the big Makariv. You're Makariv, everybody under the world, under the sun. Every person, every nomad, every Arab, every desert traveler. You, Lama 3 or 4, four entrances in the, what you call big tent. Bigger than the Republican. You're the big tent. You allow everybody in. And your own flesh and blood, you have to kick out. Hashem was angry at Avraham when Lot was in effect distant. But you know what you see from here? It's the Baal HaMasorah, the Chachmei HaMasorah, the Chachmei HaMedrash, can have a machlokes on this Nakuda. So if Avraham did the right thing or the wrong thing by distancing himself from Lot, so how can a person be so cocksure of himself in the situation A, B, or C? This guy has to be, distant, no matter what, as far away as you can from this particular person or place or thing or whatever. Maybe you're right. You have to make a decision on it. But you're so 100% sure that you're right, and another guy who thinks it's better to be Makarav is wrong. If there could be a dispute about whether Ramavino was right or wrong, so there could be a dispute about whether it's right or wrong to be Makarav, Mr. X, Y, or Z, was somewhat different opinions in certain matters. That's my assault. Don't be so sure. That's a difficult decision. But certainly one of the factors that go into that decision is the ability to live without constant bickering. Constant bickering and infighting and backbiting, that's terrible. That's by Avdel, there's no ketov. No ketov in the second day at all. Zero. Yeah. Fine. Famous Chazal again. In the fourth day, talks about the sun and the moon. How the moon complained and therefore became the Mara Kotel. The sun became the Mara Godel. What did the sun say when he heard the moon's pine against him? Right? The moon said, Ein Shnei Melochim, Mishtamshim, Mishbekeser Echad. What the sun say? Do we know? What the sun say? That's the best thing to say. The sun said absolutely nothing. Zero. That's Pshatah and the Mepharshim explain the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, and this is Gemara in Gittin and elsewhere, the Gemara tells us that HaNe'alovim ve'o'enam olvim shomim kerposam ve'enam meshivim. If they get insulted and they don't insult back, they hear themselves being embarrassed and they don't respond. Oh, Aleim Akosav Omer. But then the Pesuk says, Pesuk and Shoftim, the Oavav Kitzeis Hashemesh Bidburoso. Shira's Devorah. That those who love Hashem go out like the strength of the sun. Why do they think so much of the sun? Vana says we can't share this pie. So you, I be the chama. I said, you're a chutzpanyak, you the Vana, you bum, you schnook, you shake it, you white stuff, you. Shemesh is quiet. So the Shemesh didn't answer anything. It was given a Kaddish Baruch Hu rewarded by making the Mara Godel. Remember this, Rabbi Say. It's going to be a time, it's going to happen to you, it's inevitable. Someone's going to say something to you which you really get insulted by it, you really feel it shouldn't have been said. Let it pass. Let it pass. Let it slide. Let it go. Wow. It's not the end of the world. Not so critical. Put things in perspective. My is own and other higher person is alive. If someone says something bad to him, don't respond. Don't respond. That's the best way to live, you know? Best way to live. I heard it's the name of Rav Hirschberg. I was angry with it from Montreal. He quoted, I think, the name of the Ger Rebbe. Because if the Ger Rebbe is a chat, it says in Ovid, Siyog Lakovma Shtika. What does it mean, Shtika? What he said, chat is like this. Shtika means don't respond. Someone, doesn't just tell me, oh, to be quiet. Shtika means be quiet in the face of an attack. So the Rebbe asked, so Shtika is a Siyog Lakovma. To be quiet, not to respond, that's considered a siyog, the gate around Chokhmah. What's Chokhmah itself? Shtika, secret that you get insulted, the guy says something terrible to you, and you always respond. So the Ger Rebbe said, the Chochmah.
So what?
Now you emphasize that there's so many fights that are thought over these kind of things. You have to learn. But Yavdel is no good, no Kito in the fight. And the lessons, the Mamish, the lessons, celestial lessons, if you will. From the heavenly lessons, from the second day and the fourth day. the newspaper suggested, Leos Nishma Midor Zeli, Pore Zemi Zeligamri, Kemosh Nifra Avram Elot. I didn't realize that. No, it's Avram Elot. He gives the marshal. Says in the Tiv, Eitz Zu Kosh. newspaper suggested, Leos Nishma Midor Zeli, Pore Zemi Zelagamri, Kamo Shanifer Avrami Lot. I didn't realize that. Thomas Avrami Lot. He gives the marshal. Says in the Tiv, Eitzazu Kosha Kecharvos Laguf Ha'uma V'Kiyuma. Like a sword into the body, if you will, of our nation and of its survival. Why? This is a famous quotation. Hain b'shar shayin of Eretz HaKodesh u'b'rish u'seinu kim'ah b'vay ha'sheni net ha'meret b'chor ha'vay b'gol yisro b'sibas machlokas ha'pushim ha'matzukim v'gam ha'seid machmas shtin ha'skinim shabay shvichot ha'meshenim ha'sheim ha'adin hain b'shar shayro ha'porish ha'echad meku v'ez ha'dover apal gav shlo ha'yat tuki klau. Hello, Savera. We come and go mach with Sina Skinem. There is Shoto Tuki Shemaridin also. Who we then is Rabbi Sina's Shvicha Tonin Beheter, Ula Shem Mitzvah Betol. What he says is amazing. Because if you look at Bamidbar, Perek Lam Adol, Pasuk Lam Adol, he has some kind of, I don't want to say it, Hamid Sober, Herkos Sober. That's history. Look at it right now, about 100 years ago. I don't have the date on this. But about 100 years ago, let's say, a little more. He says, because the Eid of Rochok Ben Adas, Lohagia Chas V'Shalom Be'ez Kozos, Gamken, today, 19th century. Ashti, our Sher Alpi, Re'os, Eine Echazim Mazdiki Adas, Yidamish Eploni, Eino Misnag, Alpi Darko, Ba'avodas Hashem. He belongs to a different shul. He doesn't follow his way of doing worship of Hashem. The Ishbetenel is Minus, and he'll say he's an apokar. The Yisrachak Yimeno, and the Lord stay far away from him. The Yerodfim Zeh Beheter Bedinyan Kozev Chas V'Shalom. The Shiches Kolam Hashem Cholilo. Unfortunately, this is what we're going to describe in reality. There's different ways of, he changed the Lashon. Not even in Aveira. It's a different way of avodas Hashem. But, you know, he's I don't know, I want to give him a shalom. Whatever, I don't want the shalom to give. Whatever, I think you know more or less what I'm driving at. There are different ways in avodas Hashem, different yeshivas have different ways of thinking, different chassidus, different ways of approaching the avodas Hashem. The guy has a different way, see right away you're right with him, going up with Kairos. Madach was a problem in Eretz Yisrael when we had the Kavachomer Chutzlar, which is a famous mashal. Because we have in Golos we consider to have fire oryx. In Eretz Yisrael, the Kofi Hashemayim. What's a fire oryx? Every piece of sand, every grain of sand is nothing. It's swept away by the tide. If you have all the millions of grains of sand come together and they form a beach, doesn't move. From the rock, doesn't move. Eben Yisrael. Shem Lukubor, Baguda Akas, Oz, Enuma Velosh, Nichol, Abdom. Beheich, Nomad, Behiporet, Ishner, Eyu, Biavo, Umos, Olam, Ushtafun, Maat, Maat, Chatz, Visholem. That's what he says. Now, big controversy today, what did the Nativ mean? What did he mean? Did he mean? You can't have anything to do with, they can't have a fight with someone else who is Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. But he has to be kept, they have to somehow get to get along despite the differences within their Rakhma Avodas Hashem. Or did he even mean that those who are not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, you have to somehow make some kind of contact with them? Speak my question, revisionist history. What does this mean? Well, you may know, just to give you an inkling, I can't prove it, I don't know what he means, it's hard to say, that the Nativ was an active member of what the movement was called then the Chovah Vaisium, even though for a period of, I'm talking about the 1880s, right? Even though at the time, most of the people who
Tzion were not observant.
That's an unfortunate piece of history. I mean, we pay for it to this day. Ad Hayom Hazeh, what they call the first Aliyah, if I may call it expression from history books. The first Aliyah was, what, 1881? Am I right? Who knows history? I think so. Something like that. So, it was called Bilu. No? Right. What does Bilu stand for? Moving out. So they left out the last two words. Should have been Bilu Bilu B. Oh, very good. 100 years too late. Today's Yaakov Lechuv and Echav Bar Hashem. So the funny thing is, not funny, it's tragic, but the impetus for the going back to Eretz came originally from the Rabbanim. The Rabbanim came to those years of terrible pogroms were starting, you know, in the Tsarist Russia. Terrible. So Rabbanim saw him about this, everyone should go to Eretz Yisrael. Bought those who live in Eretz Yisrael. But unfortunately, the percentage of those who heeded their call were observant was very small. We know that's a fact, that the ones who went to Eretz Yisrael and who drained the marshes, you know, primarily, and risked malaria and some to come, were those who primarily were not observant. How do you relate to them? I don't know, I'm not sure if my history is right, but I think that the Rabbanim who signed the original Kol Koreh to have, you know, people go to Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanim of Russia, lived to Russia with all the same area, were split after their Kol Koreh was heated, ironically, by the non-Frum, not by the Frum. What do you do now? The way I understand it, what happened was they signed the Kol Koreh, it was Gedolei Yisrael, and then the irony was that the people who were not Frum heeded it, and they said, now give us money. Because originally that was the deal. Either go, you don't want to go, pay. You know, help out those who are living in Eretz Yisrael. So I think that there's a question as to whether you should, the Rabbanim should now continue to support this movement or not. I don't know if you're egalitarian. You're a man. And as a result, you can't understand it. Okay. It's up to a point of truth. It is. I'll thought that Havayach has a deal with Trump. It is up to a point. It's impossible. I hope Gus was talking about this not long ago. It was about this very, very point. Oh, I guess I could say it wasn't a bad thing. I got a call, you know, the call came from the darndest times. The call came to me the night of Erev Rosh Hashanah. It was Matzoy Shabbos, Erev Rosh Hashanah. And the house was, I can't imagine what was going on. It was just wild. The Talmud calls, oh, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? Oh, that's fine, great. I've spoken with him a long time. I have a problem. So what's the problem? What's the issue? The issue was Zilpah Sneezing. He's married though. So he says, what's the matter? Oh no, the bees itself, that's not a problem. The bees need it. But these are focus. So these extra added stringencies, the Tanakh of Manara, that they should touch each other at all. Is that a hecker? Yeah, kind of very much opposed to, ooh, we would be opposed. To come up again this coming year. Before the year is out, this Eretz will again be sold to an Arab sheik. Mark my words. But Mashiach comes first. And then there will be other problems. But that could be an indication. He even meant that you have to have those individuals who are not so observant, you have to have some kind of shyness with them. You know, it's an issue which I'm not going to resolve in one day. The big controversies they don't have. Kuklik was involved in the controversy. What do you do with those who are Nebuch not keeping Torah mitzvahs? How do you relate to them? How do you treat them? What do you do for them? You know, I've said many times that you have to be good to them and kind to them and nice to them, even if you will be very much opposed to their principles and the way of thinking, but you have to like them as persons. And I got to tell you, there's some misconceptions over here. Because, you see, there are individuals who are known as how do I put it, radicals, fanatics, because they're polemic, but at the same time, you may not realize that they're doing much more chassadim for these people, the same people who they're criticizing, than you are. Take with them a satma, perfect case in point. Satma. Satma is the name of soap, and it tingles through your spine. Satma. Crack troops that are coming to the tumult and to make posters and posters, etc. I can tell you stories of the late Satmar, people came to him who were in the worst. He used to write about his yoyness. They wrote about his most unbelievable things. When they had personal problems, they needed money or they needed whatever they needed, he was the first one to help. Unbelievable. The answer is, he was able to split in his mind. Principle of principle, I'm going to fight it 100%, but the guy needs to cast it. Gotta do kasher, the person is Jewish, gotta do kasher. The stories are all the time, all the time, what they did for Habakkursim, the Chaim and the Briskerov, and the stopping the Davin Yom Kippur to say they're not for courage. It's unbelievable that these people did. So we have to recognize that principle is principle. Only thing is, every society has its own unique characteristics in terms of how differences of opinion are expressed. You have to know how to what's proper. And it's difficult when you see that people are fighting about the various issues and they're calling other names, etc. That hurts us. So again, we're Americans. America is a live and let live society. So we get to be, everything goes. But we say, well, it's not everything goes. You can't. We don't believe in some of the things that are going on right in front of our nose, and we don't believe in everything happens, but somehow it rubs off on us. We should let some things happen. And the people from New York said, what do you mean? We should let anything happen. Let's fight it. And no matter what. Again, it's very hard to know when to split, when to remain together. Certainly there are possibilities of making a mistake over here. But the Chazal, Mazina wasn't sure whether he did the right thing by law or not. He put the force. So be tolerant of other individuals where they are together with others who you think they should be split off from, or they were split off from somebody they should be together with. We don't know the truth all the time. We're not free from exercising our own judgment. We have to try. But don't keep your opinion other than your own. Remember that. Okay. Yom Sheni Revi. Yom Shishi. Talk of creation of man. Actually, man and woman. Says in the Torah, Zoch on the cave of Bara Osa. And then it says, Ruruvu, next passage, not the process, Umiruas Arat Fakim Shur. Says Rashi, the Kapshua Chasavok. Lam the Chosh has Zohar Kovach is on the Kaver. The Lord the Hey Yatson. So all the Lam the Chosh, the Isha Dakar, this was in the Tuba Puri of Rivia, the Lower Isha. So in this context, I want to refer to an excellent article by Kuli Cohen, the last issue of Habavata, which everyone should read. And one of the themes that he speaks about is this Rashi. Some of the different manifestations. I'm still constrained at the present time, I'll come back to that in a second, to, I have no choice but to express my opinion. Another news that came out before Yom Kippur. They sent me back and it came out so close, I didn't have a chance to respond to it. And I have to respond. I cannot be silent. My Achrayus. There's a man there, I don't know who this fellow is, who writes an article in which he mentions three illustrious members of the yeshiva. I hardly want to say it. It has to do with very significant, a very significant position in our yeshiva. Quotes them, misquotes them, quotes. None of the parties know where the quotes, they could just begin to say where they may have possibly come from and been misinterpreted and warped, etc., etc. Machta Ganza Kugel, Ganza Cholz about this, what the real yeshiva and what the real place and what the real, I don't want to go into the details. Just suffice to say that you can't believe what you read in the paper. I mean, because you can't do it. I mean, and I have to express my disappointment that such an article saw the light of day, that there are individuals who are either lacking common sense or lacking understanding or lacking whatever they're lacking, and they write these things. No. The world is made of many different people. You know, different levels of understanding, whatever, different sensitivities. But when someone has a major responsibility for a newspaper, you have to, something. Some measure of something. I don't understand. I intend to speak to the powers that be, to some of them, and to say that it can't be. Not only that, but I already took action. I spoke to Rabbi Chaim just yesterday, and I told him that I'm supposed to be speaking, what is it, next week, the week after that? November 4th, Dorm Talk, on very hot topics. I said, I will not speak. I can't run it. Unless I don't want to be a newspaper. Because if I say, well, they're going to misquote and misinterpret and misconstrue it. Yeah, it depends. How much is misinterpreted is there? not only that, but not everything that I say to an audience in Borg Lounge, you know, they quote it from a various, including of Yosef Ben Risco, they quote, not everything that you think should you say, everything that you say should you write, everything that you write should you print. And the fact that I say it doesn't mean I would write it, but certainly would have never printed. Plus, I can make a mistake. You know, and I have to sit there. If I have to sit there and watch every word that I say because it's going to be put in the newspaper, I better not speak. You speak for 2 hours and you're not going to make one mistake. You know this is presidential politics. If a guy makes one mistake, he's going to speak for 2 hours straight. And say, oh, they'll pick the one 30-second sound bite that they say, and they'll just go over it a million times. I didn't inhale. I don't have the mustard. I'm going to win anyway. I don't know if it's going to be too much. Guys make differences, they make the mistakes, you know, and in the course of the constant questioning, etc. I talk to somebody here very freely. If I make a mistake, I come back to you next week, I made a mistake. I'll say, but you know, it's really bad, better, I'd rather you shouldn't quote me, or shouldn't print it. Yeah, I understand the relationship. I'm happy to speak to these guys the same way. But the minute it starts going into the paper, it's go everywhere. You know what that kind of damage that can do? These papers go to Arab conference or and people don't know, take it as Torah's luxury, they take it as Torah's feminist, so you know, this is the P.I. Gvura. This is what he said, and what he said, he's going to take it as such. And even someone who's going to write a letter next week and say, it's not true, but who's going to see the letter? You know, that's not right. So now we'll negotiate at this point. Maybe if they print it, if they show it to you before they put it out, maybe. I'll think about it. But I don't know. It's a chance they haven't shown me. If something I'd pay attention to would happen, we need to see what they said they would show me, they didn't show me. Believe it or not. Believe it or not. We had an agreement. That they didn't show it to you before. Uh-huh. Okay. What's up to negotiation? I feel very strongly about this thing. It's a serious problem. So now, having said that, let's get down to the controversy that I want to discuss right now, which is the Kivshua. So this is really a mouthful. This one word is enough to speak about for weeks. Let's take the second part first, to be easier to understand. That a man is chayav in pur, who not a woman. I want you to know, as Uri so beautifully wrote at the beginning of his piece, warning. Everything about women today is going to get insulted. So true. I don't know how you're so smart to know right away. I took me years to figure that out. Whatever you say, you're going to insult. Because the ultimate put-down is you're a man. That's the ultimate put-down of the egalitarian. You're a man. And as a result, you can't understand me. Okay. It's up to a point. It's true. It is. It is up to a point. It's impossible. The whole discussion talking about this is not long ago. It was about this very, very point. Oh, I got to say it. It wasn't a bad thing. I got a call, the call's coming the darndest times. The call came to me the night of Erev Rosh Hashanah. It was Matzoy Shabbos, Erev Rosh Hashanah. And the house was, can't imagine what was going on. It was just wild. The Talmud calls, oh, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? Oh, that's fine, great. I haven't spoken to him in a long time. I have a problem. So what's the problem? What's the issue? The issue was Zilpah's Knezim. He's married to him. So he says, what? Not, oh no, the Knezim stuff, that's not a problem. He's the Knezim. Because he's our focus. So he's extra added stringency to Tanakh of Menorah, that they shouldn't touch each other at all. They shouldn't pass things to each other. And they should be trials. This my wife can't say. My first question was, look, I asked the powerful question, I said, where did your wife go to school? So the reason I was supposed to ask her is because the wife's on the phone. Oh, my wife's on the phone. But I a potential disaster. That's a potential disaster. I could have made some kind of flippant remark. Which I don't know if I would have made it, but still, I don't know who you're talking to, explaining to them. So where'd you go to school? I can't remember. It was Central. I don't know where it was. I don't remember exactly. It's all background. It was going on about a very long time. How can it be? The rabbis are so strict and they should touch each other. So I said, that maybe the rabbis were afraid that they touch each other. Next thing one touch, can't touch it. Oh, you understand, it's just a hug, and it's just this, and this. But just to touch, to tap on the shoulder, to hold a hand. So I said, the nature of life is that someone's one thing to another, and there's familiarity, and maybe the rabbis felt that, the Torah felt, that the rabbis, the gear, shalom, but there are people tied to the rabbanim. But maybe the rabbis felt that there's one thing to another, so therefore they made these restrictions, and said, then, after a while, going back and forth, came the put-down. Thanks me for my concern, for my concern. A lot of time, I was so busy. But I felt that the Talmud of mine had these problems. Well, he, said the woman, he's in control. He can control himself, even though it goes on for whatever, 12 days, that he can't even touch me at all. He's in control, but I can't control myself. I have this emotional need. I can't communicate. I can't. So you can already see the put-down coming. So, what am I going to do? They want me to give a heter. I can't give a heter. I'm not the Pope. I can't give a dispensation. So, finally, she says, But how can you answer if you're not a woman?
I mean, something that's more like an after that lover.
You can't creep into my shoes because, you know, you don't have those hormones that affect that I have. And that's basically what she said. Did you write?
So you're right, yeah.
Oh, I didn't want to keep my wife. She was out of the state.
You don't have to throw in
the phone. There was a son. So what I did was, I said, I gave her two names. I wanted to speak to this woman called Zahila Abrama, who's rest goes around. Times is very popular and very articulate. And if you can't find her, I don't know where she lives, and if you can't find her, call up Rebbe Cohen, that's Rebbe Dovenstone's wife, Rebbe Lea Cohen, who spoke about the young Riverdale. She's managed to hold her own, so I know she's capable. And either she'll talk to her, and she may still refer you to the position of Stable, or some other woman, she has the best thing to you. So you spoke with a woman, that was the end of the conversation. So warning. That's before this thing came out. This is the Arab Summit. Warning. Anything you say is expensive. Why is it that a woman is not hiring for a room? Who is this? Why not? You have to pay a cloud guard on these matters. We don't know all the answers. We look why. We spoke about it, remember, in before you about that Sheena time of the crow? Whether you follow the reason, or don't follow the reason. So one of the reasons we don't follow the reason is because we don't know how sure the reason is. This is the reason, that's the reason. How do you know the reason is? I truly don't know what the reason is. I have a whole lot of know what the reason is. I don't know. I'll just share with you the Meshna Kofa's insights on this topic. Two very interesting insights, which each one is fascinating. Why is it a woman is not hiring for a removal? One is a very basic reason. Is having children is dangerous. Unfortunately, people don't make it. Maybe there are cases or not. Clearly now it's so rare. But it happens. One case too many. Mono Islam. Not that long ago, a woman hemorrhaged. Yeah, look at my... terrible beating. How many assignments? I don't know. Unbelievable. Well, hemorrhage, because all things left to death. In today's world, before they get stable. Terrible story. And I think all these topic pregnancy, I don't know what that is. And when they get large in the wrong place, like, I know someone who's never gone. Even today, with all the modern medicine, it's still this dangerous. In the old days. Really dangerous. That's why in the old days, the average life in a woman was much, much lower than a man. Now it's precarious. This is the main difference. It is the childbirth. So the man Simcha says in the Meshach HaFma, how can you tell the woman she has to have children? You're going to tell a person to do something as a mitzvah which endangers the person's life? Alright, it's a small danger. Someone saw Hashem, etc. But it's still a danger. He's theorizing, maybe that's why the Torah Kadosh does not make women obligated directly, to the fact that it's dangerous. Of course, they get married. They're no men to have children by themselves. And the women do it, they do it, they're happy to do it, so they're willing to do it. But it's not that they're commanded them, so they can stay single, in theory. They're not with super directly and having children. That's one theory. Yeah. That goes over pretty well. protect the new lives of the woman. There's another theory. Also very fascinating, very, absolutely fascinating theory. It's an Adam Godel, a Goyen, the Meshach was a Goyen in Halakha, and a Goyen, even his little remark, he makes Mekumish. Like this. What'll happen if the, listen carefully, if the woman is married to a man who cannot have children? She can't have children. Nowadays they can prove it. In the old days they didn't know who was really what was happening. Now it was tested. Says the message from one of them. If she have an obligation to have children, you have to get divorced. Divorce is terrible. Divorce is so terrible. Divorce. When the sex force was divorced, it was terrible. The person contemplate. Therefore, the Torah exempts a woman from food. That's the obvious question. Man marries to a woman, and the woman can't have any children. Oh, that's a talk about him. By Torah law, we all know, a man can have more than one wife. Well, not that it's the greatest thing in the world, but at least there's no mandated divorce. Remarkable, isn't it? What a remarkable idea. Of course, you understand what one might extrapolate from this. Paskim don't, but one might extrapolate from this thought of a man similar. Incredibly so. That there's not a zed, you can't take another wife. So one might argue, based on a man of man simple to soul, that maybe if the wife can't have children, he shouldn't get divorced. Because after all, the Torah didn't want, the Torah only said to divorce her because the Torah doesn't tell you why, because the option is to take another wife. That option no longer exists at all for anybody. Maybe, you know, we can be more lenient with those who don't get divorced. Most who don't get divorced. Okay. When it comes to Yaakov Avinu, all of a sudden all the guys are in the yeshiva. What's going on over here? So, I was very upset about that comment. The capital didn't have to do a lot with the women's tefillah time. Context. This lady was one of the leaders of the local women's tefillah. It's also a possible reflection of the misunderstanding of the basic point. Anyway, let's continue.